Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. All week, we've been talking about grief and the different forms it's taking during this pandemic, from the death of loved ones from COVID-19 to the disruption of our everyday routines.
Grief is our reaction to loss. It is a emotional reaction, but it also is a physical, cognitive, and oftentimes spiritual response to loss.
That's Sonia Lott, a licensed psychologist in Philadelphia specializing in grief. So often, we think about grief only in response to the death of someone we care about, but it's much more than that. Grief can happen with any kind of loss, a marriage, a job, physical touch, you name it. We're all grieving someone or something right now. I asked Sonia if we've ever experienced this level of collective grief before.
The closest that we've come to it was with 9/11. 3,000 people were killed. However, we're experiencing the death of 3,000 or more people per day at this time. And this has been going on for almost 2 months that we are aware of, and we really don't see an end in sight. This collective grief that we're experiencing around the world, I don't believe we've ever experienced before in this way.
How does collective grief express itself? I mean, I feel like I watch on social media, and right now people are so angry. Is that an outpouring of grief?
Under the circumstances, it absolutely can be. In terms of what emotions we experience when we're grieving, it's individualized for each of us each time we experience a loss. And even if we limit that to the loss of loved ones, it's different every time. It doesn't always include anger, but when we have circumstances where people feel like, for example, we're not being supported by our government, or we don't have things like adequate testing, or people are being ignored or not being given opportunities for treatment under the current circumstances. People are feeling like, how could this have been avoided or not have escalated to the extent that it has? There is a lot of anger on the part of many people in terms of how the pandemic has been handled.
I guess I wonder how these things knit together, the sort of individual loss that people feel when you're trying to make sense of a death, or even, you know, if you're a little kid losing your time with your friends and your school experience, and then this larger collective bucket. How do those things bounce off one another and interact?
Well, it makes grief more complex. And in part, it's because we don't always recognize non-death losses as losses that deserve our grief process or deserve to be honored by a grief process. So we don't always give name to that, but we talk about those often as secondary losses. And so we have to be able to recognize that death is not the only loss that we experience, and that we get to grieve whatever loss we are experiencing, even if it isn't as, quote, bad as somebody else's loss. So it's more complicated, it's more compounded. And that's one of the things that's unique to this pandemic, is that many people have lost their employment. People are losing the social connection, or the physical connection, I should say. We've learned how to stay connected via technology, but that actual hugging each other, we really shouldn't be doing. And when we are in grief individually or collectively, or if we're just even anxious, a hug goes a long way. And so when we're in grief or we're in fear, we gather together, and we're not able to do that. So that's a huge loss that we often can't even give language to. We don't even know what it is.
Does the fact that we can't do that right now complicate grief even more?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. Our grief needs to be witnessed. It complicates it more because our grief needs to be witnessed and there's less opportunity for that. And it's also that we're losing the opportunity to be present with our loved ones when they're dying. The other thing too, because so many of us are grieving so many losses, it's harder for us to be present for other people, to hold space for their loss.
When I think about Americans, and particularly modern American culture, we don't talk about death and loss that much. How would you characterize the way Americans kind of relate to and experience grief before the pandemic?
Well, we acted as if it was something to be present to for about 3 days, maybe 5 days, depending on your place of employment, how many days you would get off to take care of your business.
Yeah.
And then to get back to work. You know, we don't have permission in American society to openly grieve. We just don't have it. We're so uncomfortable with death and dying and living, actually. And there really isn't space for people to fully move through their grief and to get through the tasks that are so important to get to the, quote, other side of grief, if you will, or for to allow our grief to become more integrated.
You know, I think a lot of people may have heard of this sort of classic five stages of grief that are often referred to in popular culture.
Yeah.
Denial,
yeah.
Anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Do those apply here?
They never apply, and I really appreciate you asking that question. I end up seeing people who have had their grief complicated for believing that their grief process should have looked like this, and when it didn't, they felt that something was wrong with them. What happens is that it becomes easier for us to think about this messy, long-term process that we call grief as something simplistic, that we can just understand these stages. So the stages don't apply. And also, it gets confusing because the stage of, quote, depression, if you will, needs to clearly be distinguished from a grief process. If someone has a clinical depression, they're going to look very similar to somebody in grief, but the, quote, treatment or the course of action is very, very different. Also, these, quote, stages only have to do with the emotional reactions that happen versus all of the physical manifestations, headaches, you know, inability to concentrate, a cognitive one, doubting your religious beliefs, which happens sometimes, that spiritual component.
You know, one thing we've covered a lot on this show is the disproportionate impact that the virus is having on poor communities, communities of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if grief looks different in historically marginalized populations or manifests differently.
I really appreciate that question, Lizzie. Grief is the same for all of us. It's unique for each of us, but it's a universal occurrence. And grief, as it relates to the loss of a loved one, it's the same tasks that we need to move through. It's the same set of these overwhelming emotions, because love and connection are universal. But we may have different ways or rituals around grieving loved ones, funeral services or not, that type of thing.
What support can we give one another right now? How do we help others grieve while we're also experiencing grief?
One, we are in grief, even if we don't even know anybody who's died yet, let alone a loved one. So knowing that we deserve to honor our grief, that it's okay to have privilege, you know, in this situation, to acknowledge that privilege, but to still feel the loss of the things that were or have been important to you, grieving the loss of the illusion of control that we walk through the world with until something like this happens. You know, that's a big deal. That's how we hold ourselves together collectively and individually, is to think that we have some control over our lives. And that's shattered. And so it's to have the awareness of the collective losses and to recognize that the grief process, even though it looks different, if it's not in relation to a loved one, but that there are this collective grief and the individual grief, it's fatiguing. It makes it difficult to concentrate. So that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Being socially connected as much as possible is so, so important. Even when we can't hug, you know, getting together, having friend meetings, family meetings on Zoom or whatever technology, staying connected, talking about how you're feeling, being just present and being able as much as you can to witness somebody else's grief. And try not to get into my grief is worse than yours, or I can't grieve this because, you know, at least I have a job kind of thing. And just being so much more gentle with ourselves. Give to yourself what you would give to somebody else if they were in this situation, which is what we all are in. But recognizing that your needs and filling your cup, if you will, still is first on your list. You can't really give to others if you're not, you know, replenish yourself. So being kind to yourself, doing your best to take care of yourself, and then trying to be as available to other people as possible.
Sonia Lott is a licensed psychologist specializing in grief based in Philadelphia. Thank you so much for joining us and for talking about all this.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here.